Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Pride puts ourselves center stage. Pride puts ourselves under the spotlight. Pride forgets that every single thing you have and every single thing you are comes from God.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. Today, we're continuing our brand new study on the seven deadly sins with a lesson about the universal sin of pride. We'll be learning how this sometimes subtle sin puts us at odds with God and each other, as well as the biblical solution to dealing with our pride and how to overcome and live a life of humility. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe to introduce today's message.
Over the last couple of broadcasts, I introduced the subject of the seven deadly sins. As I mentioned, the expression seven deadly sins is not mentioned in Scripture, although all of the seven sins are mentioned in various places, albeit not all in one place. One thing I guarantee is that all of us struggle with this first sin, which we're looking at today. C.S. Lewis says that pride is the one vice of which no person in the world is free. We will see today that God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. This is why one of the key Christian virtues is humility. So today I want to think of God's view of pride and look at some biblical examples. Then next time, we'll think of our responses to our pride.
A flamboyant figure strode into a court of law and took the witness stand. He was asked to state his name. He said, "I am Frank Lloyd Wright." Occupation? He said, "I'm the world's greatest living architect." Afterwards, a friend said to him, "Frank, how could you say that?" To the reply was, "Well, I was under oath. I had to be honest." Well, today in our series on the seven deadly sins, we begin with the first deadly sin, and that is pride. Augustine said, and I agree with him, that pride is the beginning of sin. C.S. Lewis says, "Pride is the one vice of which no person in the world is free." Now, pride comes in all shapes and sizes, doesn't it? Sometimes it's obvious with the arrogance and the hubris that we see in others. But more often, that pride takes all kinds of subtle forms. And it's true of this, that with pride, it's much easier to see it in others than to see it in ourselves. But pride is the universal sin. All of you here are proud. Now, by the deadly sin of pride, we're not talking about acknowledging and being thankful for the gifts, the abilities, and the talents and the achievements which God in His grace gives to each of us. We sometimes say to others, particularly perhaps to children, "I'm proud of you." And by that we mean that we're pleased with their endeavor, with their attitude, with their achievements. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the deadly sin. The sin of pride is an inordinate, ruthless preoccupation with self. Pride says, "I'm here. Have you noticed me? I'm here." Maybe 3,000 people, but pride says, "Look at me." It is selfishness. It is self-focus. It is self-absorption. There's the old Bedouin saying which says that the jackal is a lion in his own backyard. And you may think you're a lion in your own backyard. When we're proud, we see ourselves as superior to others. When we're proud, we put down others. When we're proud, we can't receive any valid criticism or correction. When we're proud, we always turn the conversation to ourselves. When we're proud, we want all the credit. When we're proud, we refuse to apologize when we know that we're wrong. When we're proud, we're upset that no one has asked our opinion about something. When we're proud, we use our position of power or influence to make others feel inferior. Pride makes ourselves the object of worship. Pride makes us think that the rules don't apply to us. Pride makes us think that we are special. Pride makes us think that in the workforce, there may be 100 others, but we deserve that promotion. Pride makes us think that we deserve a bigger compensation than others. Pride makes us think that people exist to make life more comfortable for ourselves. Pride is patronizing and dismissive of others. Pride is very, very destructive in our relationships. Pride is the universal sin. Pride is a deadly sin. We want, first of all, to think what God thinks of pride. Secondly, to think of an example of the opposite of pride, and then some responses when faced with our own pride. First of all, God's view of pride. Will you turn in your Bibles to Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 8, and we will see that God hates pride. You notice the word hates. God hates pride. Proverbs 8, and we'll look, first of all, at verse 13. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. God is speaking, and God says he hates pride and arrogance. Last week in the introduction to this series, I said that at the top of the list in Proverbs 6 of things which the Lord hates, the first one was haughty eyes. Turn over to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, verse 5. Everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured, he will not go unpunished. Does that surprise you that in fact it is an abomination to the Lord? You may think of some sexual sins as abomination to the Lord, and you may think you're free of these sexual sins, but here is a statement that everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Verse 18, the familiar verse, often misquoted, Proverbs 16, verse 18, pride goes, not before a fall, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride goes before destruction. In the New Testament, 1 Peter, that's towards the end of our Bibles, 1 Peter, one of the apostles, writes on the subject of pride. The last chapter of 1 Peter, 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. Why should we do that? For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If you want to go through life with God against you, with God opposing you, be proud. God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Paul says in Romans 12, verse 3, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. He writes in Philippians 2, verse 3, we are to do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than ourselves. Do you do that? Do you count others more significant than yourselves? Paul is saying that's what we should do. Isaiah 66, verse 2, this is the one to whom I will look. Who does God look for? One who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. See, the humble person trembles when God speaks. The proud person says, well, that's just the Bible, and who believes the Bible nowadays? Pride puts ourselves center stage. Pride puts ourselves under the spotlight. Pride forgets that every single thing you have and every single thing you are comes from God. There is nothing that you can give to God that you have not received. Pride forgets that. Pride says, this is what I have done. Pride separates us from God. and pride, in fact, defies God. Biblical examples of pride, there are many. Turn to Isaiah 14 for the outstanding example of pride. Isaiah chapter 14. Here is, in a sense, the first sin, pride. Who committed it? Our great enemy himself, Satan. If you want to think of the example of pride, think of Satan. Here it is, Isaiah 14, verse 12, how you are fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn, how you are cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low. You said in your heart, I will, notice the I wills, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. And here it is. I will make myself like the Most High. But you're brought down to Sheol, to the far reaches of the pit. Where is our enemy going to spend all of eternity? We're told in the lake of fire, which burns forever and ever. This great, beautiful, highly intelligent creation of God, this angel that we now call Satan, is cast down. For what reason? For pride. He's going to ascend. I will make myself like the Most High. Pride, a deadly sin. Let's think of another example from the book of Daniel. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. Daniel chapter 4, this man called King Nebuchadnezzar. He's a great warrior, very successful man. In fact, he's the leader of the superpower of the day. He's the king of the Babylonians. Verse 28 of Daniel 4, all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. And the king answered and said, is not this great Babylon, which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty? Look around. You see it? I build it. It's built for me, for my majesty. Look at me. No one greater than I am. God casts him down in a very unusual way, that this mighty king is reduced to eating grass like an animal. Verse 37, the end of the chapter, as he's humbled, he says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are right and his ways are just. For those who walk in pride, he's able to humble. God is well able to humble those who walk in pride. Nebuchadnezzar, not enough that he's blessed. He wants everyone to know how important he is. That's pride. T.S. Eliot said, most of the trouble in the world is caused by people wanting to be important. Just think of that. Think of all the trouble in lives, homes, businesses, nations, governments, churches, friendships. They're shattered over who's the most important. Who's number one? Who's calling the shots? Who is the greatest? There's another example, one which I find comes from 2 Chronicles 26. The king Uzziah, the one who died, it was in the year that he died that Isaiah goes into the temple in Isaiah 6. But this king Uzziah is the king of Judah for 52 years, and he's a great king. And you know why he's great? The scripture says that God marvelously helped him. Life has gone well for you. You're very successful in your career. You've got a great skill, a great ability. Things are going well. Just remember, God is marvelously helping you. And at the pinnacle of his power, he's really at the top of the heap, he had a tremendous fall. It began when he fell in love with himself and he forgot it was God who helped him. Isn't it easy to do that? Isn't that true? You work hard, things go well, God's blessed you. And how easy it is to forget that God has helped us. This was a good king, a mighty king, a spiritual king. And the text says, 2 Chronicles 26, verse 16, when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction. A haughty spirit goes before a fall, pride going before destruction. He thought he was special. He was the king. He didn't think the law of God applied to him. So he goes into the temple. He wants to offer the incense. And the priests say, no, king, you can't do that. That's for us. And he's angry. And right there in the temple, God cuts him down and his leprosy. And for the rest of his life, he lives isolated, alienated from his people. He's a leper. Pride leading to destruction. Pride is opposed by God and it's deadly. Now, do you understand that? I think we have to understand that this, I must confess, it's difficult for me to understand how much God hates pride until I remember this, that God is God, supreme over all. We are his creations and we are to bow before him. What's the opposite of pride? Humility. Let's think of a supreme example of humility. Where's it found? It's found in our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writes, Philippians 2, verse 6 through 8, our Lord Jesus was in the form of God. He was God. He did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. God incarnate. When he comes into our world, he comes in the form of a servant, in the form of a slave, and is obedient to his Father, a sign of humility. And our Lord is perfect in his humility and his obedience to the Father. Yes, obedient to death, even death on the cross. What does that look like? Turn to John chapter 13. New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 13, and we'll see a wonderful example of humility. The opposite of pride. John chapter 13, verse 2. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. What's the scene? The Lord is with the 12 in the upper room. Jesus and his disciples. Notice how Satan himself had infiltrated the band of the 12. Verse 27 of John 13, after he'd taken a morsel, Satan entered into him, that is Judas. Remember last week as we thought of Genesis 3, verse 15, the Lord said, he, the coming Messiah, will bruise the serpent on the head, but the serpent will bruise him on the heel. The serpent is there, right in the inner circle. Isn't that interesting? But what happens? Verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God. He knew that. He knew he was going to rise from the dead. He rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it round his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. You picture that? God incarnate, the Lord of glory, is washing the feet of proud men. Here is humility in action. They're there, they walk, they're dirty, they're sweaty. This was not some ritual. This was not something done to impress other people. No, quite the opposite. They come into the room, the 12, and in the custom of the day, a slave, a child would be there to wash their feet. It was needed. They were sweaty, they were dirty. They wanted that comfort of their feet being washed, but no one was there. And so the Lord takes that towel, puts it around him, and stoops and washes the feet of very proud fallen men. And the angels of heaven, who do not serve the Lord apart from veiling their face, must have looked on in amazement that the mighty God, the eternal God, the creator of the heavens and of the earth, is bowing and washing the feet of fallen men. That's humility, isn't it? In one of his few self-designations, our Lord says, I am gentle and lowly in heart. Paul refers to the meekness and gentleness of Christ, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1. What's the answer to our pride? The cross of Christ. Paul says, God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, being an authentic follower of Jesus Christ, we learned this through our study of Matthew, must always be seen in the light of the cross. When we come to the cross, when we survey the cross, that's the end of our self-promotion, self-seeking, self-focus, self-indulgence, and provides the model and the motivation for true humility. Where do we, above all places, pour contempt on our pride? At the foot of the cross. John Stott writes, it's there at the foot of the cross that we shrink to our true size. Anyone want to compete with Christ at the cross? And to him is the glory. Not to us, but to him. He receives all of the glory. We're puffed up with our pride. We think we're important. And we shrink to our true size at the cross of Christ.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe, and the first part of a message focused on the sin of pride. John will be right back in just a moment, so keep listening. Today's lesson comes from our brand new study on the seven deadly sins. And as we dive into this important series, we want to help you make the most of each one of these daily lessons with a powerful new booklet from John called Deadly: Why Sin Still Matters. This helpful resource will deepen your understanding of how different sins can manifest in our lives and teach you how to overcome with the grace and truth of Jesus Christ. So don't wait. Download or request your copy of the booklet, Deadly: Why Sin Still Matters, by going to our website at theverdict.org. And while you're there, you'll also want to sign up for John's monthly email newsletter and receive exciting updates and opportunities from The Verdict. Our radio ministry is committed to sharing the truth of God's Word and the good news of Jesus Christ every day. And you can be a part of this gospel work by supporting The Verdict with a financial gift of any amount. We've made it quick and easy to give a one-time donation through our website at theverdict.org. And before we close, we want to remind you to subscribe to The Verdict podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. When you do, you'll get each of these daily messages downloaded automatically, along with John's special weekly feature called Avizandum. To learn more, just visit theverdict.org. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with today's closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? Do you know many proud people? Has anyone's pride impacted you in a destructive way? What about yourself? As I mentioned, pride comes in all shapes and sizes. Sometimes pride is displayed in sheer arrogance, whereas sometimes it's seen in more subtle forms, such as false modesty and dominating a conversation. Isn't it wonderful to know that when our Lord Jesus Christ comes to this world, he was the humblest of men. He came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.